Everyone, we're going to look at John chapter 5. This begins a new section. We just saw the healing, the second sign at Cana, and with the healing of the official son, and now sort of begins a new section. And as is typical in John, a new section begins with a new feast, in this case, an unnamed feast. So John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, in Aramaic, called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there, who had been an invalid for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been there a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. This is a great passage, and there's so many things going on here. And I'm going to try to underline three of those things. The first is that there's a whole lot of imagery here that John is trying to evoke from the people of Israel in the Old Testament, particularly the Exodus and the entry into the Promised Land. And so I think John wants us to see that the fulfillment of the entry into the Promised Land is happening. That was indeed a promise of the people of God, but there's a higher fulfillment that is taking place in Jesus. So a couple of clues that show us that John is doing this. Number one, this all takes place at a sheep gate. So that immediately puts us in mind of shepherding and of the great shepherds of the Old Testament, and in particular, the first great shepherd, Moses, who is the shepherd of the people of God. And then it says that this man was 38 years in his sickness. Now, again, if you pay attention to numbers in the Bible, very often numbers are rounded. And he could have said this guy had been there about 40 years or a really long time. Instead, like the 153 fishes at the end of the gospel, he says he'd been there 38 years, a very specific number. There's one other place in the scripture that this number, 38 years, comes up, and that's in Deuteronomy 2:14. Which is the beginning of the new transition to the new generation entering the Promised Land. So in other words, this man is like that generation. He's been wandering in the wilderness of his sickness for these 38 years and is now being given the opportunity to enter into the Promised Land. So I think that John is definitely evoking that Deuteronomy passage. But there's a few other things. The water, it is said that the water gets stirred up. And that if the first one down in the water, when the water gets stirred up, is cleansed or is healed. Well, in the Old Testament, there's several places that speak of troubled water and that the waters of the Red Sea or the waters of the Jordan were troubled. So in Psalm 42 or 77, the waters are addressed. Why are you stirred up? Why are you troubled? And it's referring to those Exodus and entry into the Promised Land waters, which are baptismal waters or images or types of baptismal waters. So there's another connection to the Old Testament story. Two more of those, and then we'll move on to the next larger point. One is this is all done on the Sabbath. And I think that among other things, John is suggesting that Jesus believes in the Sabbath, but he thinks that the current practice or the current preaching of the Sabbath has gotten off. And so he breaks the current teaching to show a fulfillment of it. And he sees this fulfillment in this man being made whole. We'll comment a little more on that wholeness in a minute. And then finally, just one last thing to mention, Jesus' name is Joshua. We get Joshua from translating straight from the Hebrew, but we get the name Jesus from translating from Hebrew to Greek and then Greek to English. So the point to make is that Jesus is the new Joshua offering the people of God, and this man in particular, a new entrance into the Sabbath rest of the people of God in the land that God promised them. All right, the second thing to note is this man. There's some things about this man that indicate that perhaps he's an example of someone who's blessed, who maybe begins to believe, but doesn't wind up being a disciple, doesn't wind up fully believing. Later, there's going to be a man who is healed in a very similar fashion. He's a blind man, and he's sent to the Pool of Siloam. But it's a very similar healing, and that man progresses to faith. I want to suggest that this man doesn't necessarily progress to faith. We don't know his ultimate outcome, but at least in this incident that John describes to us, he doesn't. A few things to observe about him. Jesus says, "Do you want to be well?" I think Jesus has more than his physical wellness in mind. But note that the man blames his circumstances on his unwellness. And maybe, we don't know, but maybe we can say he's a blamer. He's somebody who is a constant victim, and he blames his circumstances on everything, his lack of health and maybe even his own sin he blames on circumstances rather than owning them. So that's maybe a little hint. That gets compounded, I think, later when Jesus says, "Hey, you've been made well, stop sinning." I think there Jesus may be connecting his sin to his unwellness, and we don't get a response out of the man that, in fact, we almost get a sense that maybe he goes and tattles on Jesus. "Jesus was the one who told me to do this." So that's kind of another negative note. The story doesn't progress in the sense that he faces difficulty and winds up identifying with Jesus. And that's where I want to go back to the statement, "Do you want to be well?" Jesus clearly has more than the man's physical infirmity in mind. There's no direct evidence that he sees the sickness as a result of his sin. But when he asks, "Do you want to be well?" I do think he's asking a bigger question. And it's not clear through the outcome of the story that the man does want to be well in the whole way that Jesus wants to make him well, in the whole way that the new Sabbath that Jesus is introducing wants to make him well. The last thing to note about this passage is just the way in which John has been piling up these graders. And what I mean by that is these greater fulfillments of lesser Old Testament types and patterns, or normal types and patterns in human life. So let me explain what I mean. Going all the way back to the miracle at Cana of Galilee, Jesus takes the water that is for purification in the Old Testament system and turns it into the new wine of the kingdom, the new wine of the Holy Spirit that brings joy and celebration and invites to a wedding feast. John has said that the temple in Jerusalem were moving on, and the temple in Jerusalem was really pointing to Jesus' body, which is going to be a resurrection body. So there's that greater temple of Jesus' body. We have Nicodemus, a teacher in Israel, and Jesus invites him to become new, to become a child of God, born of the Spirit, entered into the household of God. So not just a teacher of Israel, but a child of God. That's another greater. We have the comparison of baptism in water with baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is a greater fulfillment of the baptism in water. We have the comparison of John the Baptist, who is the greatest of Old Testament prophets, Jesus says in other places, but Jesus is the bridegroom, and John says, "I'm just the friend of the bridegroom." So there's another greater. Jesus is greater than John. With the woman at the well, Jesus says that he wants to give her living water, that is the Holy Spirit. So we have the water for daily hydration and the water that Jesus offers, the water of the Holy Spirit, for soul satisfaction and for cleansing and forgiveness. We have marriage, which Jesus honors because the whole Bible honors marriage. But Jesus is inviting this woman to a greater marriage, the marriage of the bridegroom and his bride, the church, Jesus and his church. And finally, just in that same incident, we have worship in the temple, which was commanded by God, but that all was pointing to a higher and greater and more important worship, which is worship through the help of the Holy Spirit and in the truth of Jesus Christ and responding to the seeking of the Father. So in this passage, we have a new Exodus and a new Sabbath and a new entry into the Promised Land, and all that comes through Jesus. So may we really choose to be well in all the ways that Jesus wants to bring wellness in our lives. And may we really say, yes, I want to fully become well. And may we see in Jesus all a yes and an amen to all of the good things in the Old Testament and in life, and realize that he is pointing us to a greater than all of those things. Amen.